In a rather rare moment of action, President Cyril Ramaphosa suspended a deputy minister. We speak to Jan de Villiers, the Democratic Alliance's Shadow Minister of Small Business Development. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's a pleasure to be with you.
How meaningful is the suspension, really?
Well, in my opinion, not meaningful at all. I think if you just look at the seriousness of the allegations against her, if you also consider how serious the president pretends to be every time he does a sonar or every time he talks about corruption, every time he talks about cleaning house, you know, he's very serious. But a mere month slap on the wrist, I mean, to me, that's not serious.
What forced his hand into this minor move?
Well, I think the finding by the Ethics Committee maybe forced his hand, which basically meant that he should do something, which in my mind also gave him a great opportunity to do what was really necessary, and that is to show the seriousness of the fight against corruption, to implement to at least act against these allegations that are clearly recorded in the Zondo Commission and that have been laid at the door of the deputy minister. I think if you just take into account the amount of allegations, not just the rands, but just the amount of allegations, it is in my mind clear that we are dealing with someone here who has been bending the rules and not acting ethically for quite some time. And you must just remember that the president is not like a employer who needs to go through a disciplinary process with her employee. You serve on the cabinet of the president at his discretion. And if you don't need to go to a court of law or go to the CCMA or anything like that, if the president looks at the facts as they are presented to us, the public, and he then feels that it is within his discretion the right call to just suspend her for 1 month and being basically forced into it by the Ethics Committee's recommendation, I think that sends a loud and clear message that he is not serious about doing anything about state capture or people like her who clearly are very much involved in the abuse of state resources. Something simple like, I mean, just the buses. So there's the other allegations, but using, while she was the minister, using the Prasa buses for ANC events, that's abuse of state resources for party political purposes. It's black and white. It's a very clear breach of ethical code. That's not something a minister in any cabinet of any president should be doing.
Could you just highlight for us some of the controversies during her time in the state capture government?
Yeah, so obviously during that time, she was the Minister of Transport. I have to just say that I now serve, not with her, but I'm on the Small Business Development Committee, and she is the Deputy Minister of the Small Business Committee. She doesn't care to come to our committees as often as I think she should, but anyways, that's a separate issue. But during her time, there was a 14 billion rand allegation of corruption, of irregular expenditure. And this was exposed by the then PRASA board. Now, she was the minister. And during her time, she not only did not act upon these allegations, this 14 billion rand allegations, she tried to stop the investigation that was instituted against it. And this was actually taken to the High Court, where the High Court said that her conduct was irrational, unreasonable, and unlawful. So we're not talking about speculation about what she did, whether it was right or wrong. A High Court found her actions to be irrational, unreasonable, and unlawful. She also failed to appoint a CEO for the position of PRASA, which is, you know, obviously an extremely important person for the functioning of that specific SOE. You can speculate about whether she didn't appoint a CEO. Maybe, you know, she was enjoying her clear overreach of powers, which she was having, and that a CEO would get in the way of that. Or that a CEO would maybe instigate the necessary investigations that could have implicated her. We can only speculate. But what we do know is that she stood in the way, clearly stood in the way of all efforts to uncover corruption and to just abuse of state resources in Prasa at that time.
Now, in the light of all that, how has she managed to survive this long and could still end up in the next government?
Well, I think she's not the only deputy. She's not the only minister we can ask that question about. And I really do think, you know, it does really come back to the effects and the culture of cadre deployment. Because at the end of the day, the way the ANC deploys themselves is based on a system of loyalty. It's not based on a system of being able to do the job, of being qualified for the job, of ethical behavior, of what is in the best interest of the country. They act, and it comes down from the president, and it goes to all of the ministers below him. It gets spread down to the DGs and to all the departments below them because of the system of cadre deployment. They act at all times in the best interest of what they would say is the ANC, but what really comes down to the best interest of themselves. Because the ANC is held together by the corruption, by the access they have to the corrupt activities of siphoning off taxpayer money and enriching themselves. It is really what keeps the ANC together. I don't think that you will have a half of the support for the ANC if they are in a position where they don't have that power anymore.
Now, as you've said, the president has repeatedly vowed to deal with the perpetrators of corruption. What evidence have you seen of him doing that?
Well, absolutely none. I mean, he needs to be forced into positions to take these type of decisions. And what we have seen is every time, whether it is civil society or whether it is the media or whether it is us in parliament, raises the question to him, the same question you've just asked. President, you say that you are serious about corruption, but you're doing nothing about it. Then he always says, but he's not the judiciary. He's not the NPA. The process needs to unfold in itself. And he then suddenly says, you know, creates this argument that he stands outside all of this. But we know that the ministers themselves get appointed within his cabinet by him. It's his discretion. So he can remove them, and that would be a great start to dismantling state capture, is to just remove all these ministers who have clearly been fingered and shown up in the Zondo report.
Now, you've written to the president to ask him to upgrade her suspension to her removal. Have you had any response from him?
No, we have not had any response from him as of yet. I mean, we could probably say it's not yet a reasonable time to have expected a response. But I'm not too confident that I will get a response.
You know, when he first became president, many people were incredibly hopeful. And when it became clear that he may not be in a position to fulfill their wishes, people started making excuses and saying he's playing a long game. How long can that game be?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's President Ramaphosa has been a major, major disappointment, and not just for us as the opposition. I think not just for voters, which you can clearly see in polling being done at the moment. He's been a big disappointment for the majority of the country. There is no long game. There is only one game, and that is the ANC and the short term gains that the ANC can make. I think anybody who still believes that he's got some alternative plan, I almost want to say that nobody believes that he's got some longer term plan. It's been a great disappointment, because the reality is, I think that if he played it differently, he could have been, in a sense, the second Mandela. I mean, he had the table set for him. He had everything going. He had the electorate behind him. He had, even to some degree, opposition parties behind him. People were optimistic about the future. And at the end of the day, you know, we're sitting with 40%, a rough estimate, unemployment. The reality is that the economy is not growing. People are getting poorer. The inequality, the poverty, it's getting worse. And I think it was within his power to turn that around, to change it around. But that would have meant not running the ANC like a syndicate. That would have meant, liberating SOE so that they can actually, changing SOE so that they either become profitable or that you get rid of them. It would mean getting rid of the massive debt that our country has at the moment. It would mean standing up to the labor unions and saying, we're not going to give you above inflationary salary increases every single year while the rest of the country is going down the toilet. It would mean taking corruption seriously and putting people and making sure that people get put in jail. And he can stand outside of the argument and say, well, that's not his job, that's the NPA's job and all of that. But has he capacitated the NPA to do that job? And I would say no. I mean, if he was serious about getting people into jail who are responsible for CADA deployment, then he could have capacitated the NPA and all the other law enforcement and judicial entities that clearly needs those capacitation by saying, this is how serious we are about state capture and corruption. We're going to throw everything at it. But that has not happened.
Thank you. That was Jan de Villiers, the Democratic Alliance's Shadow Minister of Small Business Development, speaking to BizNews about President Cyril Ramaphosa's failure to go after the perpetrators of corruption. I'm Chris Stane.